we're so used to seeing things that, in my opinion, aren't quite right in our treatment of animals.
Yeah, the less we eat, the less violence is being done, and the less destruction to the environment.
Everyone eats, and everyone has to make a moral decision every time that we sit down to the table.
Welcome to the Animal Voices Radio Show, Western Canada's only radio program on animal advocacy and compassionate living. This is 100.5 FM Co-op Radio, CFRO, in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Today is Friday, June the 10th, 2016. I am your host, Allison Cole, and I'm joined here today by our co-host, Caroline Carnery.
Hi there.
Jen Dobell.
Hello.
And our guest co-host, Beck Wonders.
Hi there.
Welcome, everyone. Also wanted to do a shout out to our usual host, Elise Jacobson, who isn't here today. It's her birthday today. Happy birthday, Elise.
Happy birthday, Elise.
Happy birthday.
So last weekend, many participated in the National Animal Rights Day event in over a dozen cities in North America to celebrate and to proclaim the rights of animals. Activists in the city of Victoria held such an event, and many from Vancouver Island and Vancouver took part, including Caroline, Jen, and Beck here. So we'll be discussing NARD, as it's called, and I'm looking forward to finding out all about how it went. We'll also be having Direct Action Everywhere activist Almira Tanner back on the show to report to us about a DXC disruption at a rally for presidential candidate Bernie Sanders that she took part in last week. And then June the 15th is Save a Lobster Day. And what better way to celebrate this special day than to save a lobster, right? Well, that's what an animal advocate in Red Lake, Ontario did. Her name is Christine Loheed, and several weeks ago, she took it upon herself to rescue a lobster from the tank in the grocery store where he was awaiting his death, and went to great lengths to get him back to his rightful home in the Atlantic Ocean. Christine is an amazing advocate for the animals, and she'll be on the show for a feature interview to tell us her story. That interview is coming up in about 32 minutes, so please do stay tuned. So you might not know this, but this week is Companion Animal Appreciation Week. But we always appreciate our companion animals, don't we? Well, I no longer have a companion animal myself, but I know all three of you do, and I want to know more about them. I think starting with Beck, because you have a companion animal that's quite new. Beck, tell us about her.
I do. Her name is Sontag, and she's the sweetest, most affectionate little kitty who was just rescued by Cat Therapy and Rescue Society here in Vancouver. And no one knows what situation she came from, but what we do know is that she came to us 6 weeks pregnant. So she's the smallest little kitty, and yet she's creating life right inside of her. And it's been the most rewarding experience to see her forgive and be so affectionate and relearn all these things. And yeah, we named her after the feminist author and activist Susan Sontag, because they both defeated the odds. And I right now I'm thinking about her. I want to go back home and cuddle her.
You should have brought her. It wouldn't have been the first time an animal joined us on the show.
I'll bring her next time in a little baby Bjorn attached to me.
Yes.
Well, then all our animals have to come.
Yes. Yeah.
We should have thought about that before. It is Companion Animal Appreciation. Well, Caroline, I want you to bring your doggies here, because why not? It would be so fun, especially Boo.
Especially Boo. Now, we know Boo is an asshole, right?
Well, that's what you say, but really? Come on.
Well, you know, it is a Companion Animal Appreciation, and I do really appreciate all three of my dogs, including Boo, despite his personality challenges. And, you know, he's a backyard breeder rescue and lived in a cage for a couple of years on some wire and didn't really develop a lot of social skills. So we're working on those skills a few years later still. But he's the love of my life. and even though he is a little terror. And I've got a couple of other ones. Coco Chanel, which I pulled out of a dump in Mexico, and she had a fatal disease, Ehrlichia, and anaplasmosis, and a lot of ticks and fleas and infestations. And I cleaned her up, and she lived under my bed for 6 months, and it took her a whole year to wag her tail. And now every morning when the alarm goes off, there are three dogs on the bed all running around and wagging their tails. And it's just such a delight to see these dogs, which have been given this second life, be so happy. And I think in a very large way, they've rescued me right back.
Absolutely. I think that's the best thing to be. Mm-hmm. It brings joy to be woken up in the morning like that. Do they lick your faces? I like that. I crave that.
Yeah, and I don't always crave that.
bring it on to me, please. I love getting face washes by a dog.
Well, you're more than welcome to come and house sit anytime we go away.
So tell us about Wile E. Coyote.
Wile E. is a wily one. I am his fourth keeper, and he was shunted around. When he was just a baby, he was taken by his owner, I guess, who was going into a nursing home. He was 6 months old, and she said to the vet, "I need you to euthanize my dog because I'm going into a nursing home and I can't take him." And the vet said, "Well, I'll take your dog and I won't euthanize it." And then the vet fell on hard times and had to give up the dog to another person. And that person fell on hard times wasn't able to take care of the dog either. And then the dog came to me at that point. And I'm not falling on hard times in that. Aww. And we're doing quite well. So he has a forever home with me.
Wonderful. Did you ever expect that you would have a pack of dogs? A pack would be three for sure.
Well, now I really did live with a pack in Mexico. Yeah. I was fostering 13 dogs at the same time.
That's my dream.
All of which, what you think it's your dream.
Yes. It'd be a full-time job, though, I would think. A lot of
you can't own anything black, that's for sure. You were covered from head to toe. And so we were doing swimming therapy with them. There was a property, a pool on the property, and many of the dogs slept in my bed. And one of the dogs gave birth. When we took her in off the street, we didn't realize she was pregnant, and she gave birth to an entire litter of puppies, not in the bed, which I created for her in the closet, but in the middle of the night, hopped up on my pillow and proceeded to start giving birth on the top of my head.
On your head, right?
On my head. Before. And
that was the safest place.
Yeah, you know, the safest place.
Yeah.
That was such an honor when you think about it, that absolutely. She wanted to come to, this street dog wanted to come to me to have help with the birth instead of going off by yourself.
So, Jen, we need to know about Ting Ting.
The
who
little
is Ting
Ting?
Ting
Ting. Yeah. She's my rescue kitty. She's probably around 7 now. Aww. And she's like a little person to me. When I go away on vacation, I'll ask someone to house sit, and my friends say, "Why don't you just leave a window open? She's fine. Have someone come and feed her." And I say, "You don't understand Ting Ting. She's like a dog. She needs company. She gets lonely." Anyway, my most endearing little stories when I think about Ting Ting are how every morning when I get up to make my coffee, that is my first priority, but her first priority is to get the wet food. And I will get little nibbles on my toes as I'm making my coffee if I put that as a priority above feeding her.
Aww.
Gentle little love bites, but enough to let me know that there is a priority that is more important to her. Another little thing she does is if I'm dating somebody, she loves men's armpits. So she will be right up in there if they're laying on my bed, scratching away at their armpits and rubbing her face into them. It's the cutest thing.
You think it's the cutest thing.
They don't love it. They're like, "Could you please trim her nails?"
Ouch. Well, I'm sure. And as I was saying before the show, is we should probably like do a segment semi-regularly, just telling stories about our companion animals. I have done it on the show before because there's never a shortage, and it's fun to share. And as you mentioned, Caroline, like they just bring such joy to our lives. And this is like the good part about animals. It's great to be able to celebrate animals' lives. And often on the show here, it's the opposite, right? So speaking of which, last weekend In over a dozen cities in North America, activists celebrated National Animal Rights Day. And we had our first National Animal Rights Day just across the water here in the city of Victoria. All three of you attended. And I want to know more about it because I wasn't there. So what, if you, Caroline, maybe if you can just start by explaining what is the backstory behind National Animal Rights Day.
Certainly. The National Animal Rights Day, or NARD as we've come to know it, was established by a nonprofit organization called Our Planet, Theirs Too. And that was brought to life in 2011. And the purpose is for giving a voice to all animals and raising awareness of the rights, basically until all the animals are free from enslavement and their rights are established and protected by law. So this was really a awareness ceremony and a prayer ceremony for the billions of animals that are killed worldwide every year by the hands of humans. And so the group Victoria, it was organized by the Vancouver Island Vegan Association, and they went to the city and got a proclamation. And that was held last weekend, as you said, on Saturday. And about 40 of us gathered together with many other people in attendance as audience members. And we gathered at the BC Legislature. And we were all wearing black clothing because it was a requiem ceremony. And our shirts were all the same. And they said, "Our planet, theirs too." And we each had a placard that we held in silence on the lawn of the legislature. And each one of the placards had the face of an animal. Some of the animals were those held in experiments in labs. Others were farmed animals, in gestation crates and various states of disrepair. Chickens, battery chickens that had all their feathers pecked out of them. And so this, you know, we stood in silence and we listened to some beautiful, beautiful violin music on the lawn of the legislature as people passed by.
So as I understand it, this group went to the city of Victoria and had, for the city of Victoria, had June 9th declared as Animal Rights Day in Victoria. And you said they had this proclamation. Can you give us some idea of what the wording was of this proclamation that they read?
I've taken a few of the clauses out, and so I think I'll just share them with our listeners. Whereas there are estimated to be between 2 million and 50 million species of animals on our planet, who together comprise many trillions of individuals, and humans are but one species of animal who together comprise about 7 billion animals. Most, if not all, animals are considered by humans to be sentient. That is, they experience a range of emotions and sensations, including pain, fear, joy, and happiness. And whereas humans nevertheless kill about 1 billion animals each year, and Canadian humans alone kill about 1 billion animals each year, for food, entertainment, clothing, research. And whereas we are all animals, and whereas the oppression of humans and the oppression of other animals share the same logic, and the establishment in 2011, an annual commemoration of National Animal Rights Day in major cities across North America, are an effort to draw attention to and minimize the oppression of all animals, and to recognize animal rights as the logical extension of human rights, as the foundation of freedom, justice, and peace in the world.
Wow.
Now, that's not the whole proclamation, I should say, and I cut out a bunch of whereases just to tighten it up. But it's a very powerful proclamation and the first of its kind that the city of Victoria has granted.
Jen, you were also there as well, and Beck, too, you observed. What were your personal experiences there in taking part as an observer and as a leafletter?
Yes, so I was handing out information. We had a great variety of forms to hand out, actually. We had one page that explained what National Animal Rights Day was all about, and then we had a pamphlet specifically made for the basically activism against the horse-drawn carriages that take place right outside the legislature, which is great. And then we had a lot of pamphlets about factory farming showing the same images that were seen on the placards that the activists were holding. And so I went up to people and I said, do you know what this is about today? And encouraged them to take photos so that they would put it on social media just to get people more interested in this topic. And I think my most special moment of the day was coming up to an elderly couple, and the woman was crying, and I said, are you okay? And she said, I think this is really great. This is so moving. And I said, have you ever considered a vegan lifestyle? And she said, we are longtime vegans, and we are actually pioneers of an animal rights movement here in Victoria at UVic. And their names were Derek and Jean Randall. And I'm sure to some animal rights activists, those are well-known names, and I would like to keep in touch with them and get to know a little bit more about their journey into activism.
Yeah, and from just observing, it was such a powerful event. Quite a lot of people right in front of the parliament, very moving, very political in some sense. And Caroline, as someone who was standing there holding a sign, holding an image of the animal, what was going through your head? What were you thinking about?
Well, it was so powerful, as you say. I was holding a picture of a pig and a crate, and it was covered in dirt, and it was had very, very sad eyes. And as I was standing there, let me first say that it was such a brutally hot day. We were standing in the heat, and we were wearing these black outfits, and the sun was just shining down on us, and it was almost unbearable. And as I was, after an hour had passed of us standing completely still, holding our placards, a few people had to go and sit down. And my partner, who was standing next to me, said, I don't know if I can make it standing in the heat. And I turned to him and I said, let's just think about the animals who are shipped sometimes for up to 3 days in this country without food or water, in the heat, unable to cool themselves, pressed together against each other. Let's meditate on that and think about that as a way of getting through this next period of time. Mm-hmm. And so that is certainly what I was thinking about, is that I, a human being, can barely make it through an hour standing in the hot sun with nobody even touching me. Now, shortly after I had had this little conversation with Mark, a person in our group holding a placard fell down and fainted from the heat. Mm-hmm. And I thought just, you know, so that was really disturbing, but pressing home again the point that just how wretched the conditions are for animals in their various situations, especially during transport to slaughter.
Right. And it's such a powerful, powerful event, and sort of the least we can do in comparison to what they have to endure at our hands.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Jen, you had mentioned a couple of people who you met. Did Caroline or Beck, did you meet any others yourself, like especially maybe new activists there who you hadn't known before since you're on the island?
I mean, I did not recognize many of the faces.
Are you from Victoria, Beck?
I'm not from Victoria, no. But okay. I do have family there, and I am there quite a bit, so I'm sort of knowledgeable of most of the animal rights scene there. Mm-hmm. But there were many new faces, and especially also the walk towards the legislature. Caroline, can you tell us a bit about that? What were sort of some of the reactions?
Well, we did walk to the legislature, but it was primarily after our ceremony at the legislature when we were walking back to a central meeting point to debrief and to have ice cream, vegan ice cream, of course, at Green Cuisine, that we segued and went into the Bay Center. And it was a very powerful scene where we all gathered in a circle in the center of the center, and then we turned around at the same time holding our placards looking out, and people were walking by. Of course, that's a very, very busy place, and people were covering their mouths after looking at the pictures.
And that's just pictures.
Yeah. And now in some of the cities, they actually get permits to hold live animals.
Dead animals.
Dead animals. animal, excuse me, dead animals, to drive the point home about, you know, that these are lives that are being lost at human hands.
Individual lives.
Individual lives. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
And even without the dead animals, which is what I would think would make the most impact, you said people were still so impacted. So what would be your takeaway from this event? And do we need one here in Vancouver?
I think we need one everywhere. Yeah. And we absolutely need one in Vancouver next year. And failing that, I would absolutely go back to the one in Victoria. It's really incredible to get, it's just so heartwarming to get together with so many activists who really, really deeply care about animals, to come together and to speak out for animals. And
I think also for the sake for people who care and who are impacted by this, it's really important to have these events to mourn these lives, because when we're exposed to this knowledge and when we know these things, it's really hard to deal with it and to come to terms with it. So to have ceremonies like this to regularly mourn the lives that are lost is, you know, a good thing for us.
Yeah, it's a release.
Do. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really important just to have that time in silence to really think about it and to think about the, you know, the animals and their passing and how we respond to it, and just to have a clearing around that.
Yeah, because it's all so hidden from people's minds. We go to the grocery store and we see everything all packaged up, and we are not thinking about, well, we are, we people who are involved in this are, but the general public does not think about what goes on behind those walls.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for sharing your experiences at the National Animal Rights Day in Victoria last weekend.
Every weekday from 7 to 8 a.m., Media Mornings brings you independent news and culture you won't hear anywhere else.
Daily headlines, interviews, countless local voices, and our Latin America report help you make sense of today's news, from Coast Salish territories to global affairs.
Guests include David Suzuki.
Media become hostages of the corporate agenda, and thank God for the independent like you.
Indigenous activists like Pam Palmater.
This kind of radio show helps inform Indigenous and non-Indigenous people and hopefully inspire our Indigenous citizens to take action.
Social justice advocates like Maud Barlow.
I continue to be America's gas tank, although now we want to be the gas tank for the world.
Artists like Kenny Starr.
Change is created by lots of different types of activists.
Ray Spoon.
Gender is limiting and affecting everyone.
And authors like Michael Parenti.
The state is at the service of these corporations.
So tune in to Media Mornings, weekdays 7 to 8 a.m.
on Vancouver Co-op Radio 100.5 FM and podcasting at w2media.ca.
And now we have events. July the 11th marks the date of the 4th annual March to Close All Slaughterhouses. This event is taking place worldwide, and you can find one near you at www.mtcas.org. June 18th marks the deadline to collect signatures for the House of Commons petition to end the captivity of cetaceans for the purpose of entertainment in Canada. The petition will be up on our website for you to sign, and please share that as far and wide as you can. We only have 8 days to get this petition signed.
Everyone needs to sign that petition. Really important. Another really important and fun event this Sunday at 11 a.m., June 12th, at Inter River Park here in Vancouver. It's named A Mile to End Mills, and it's organized by a high school social justice class to spread awareness about puppy mills. And they will be selling homemade bandanas for dogs by donation, and it looks like it'll be a really fun event. So mark your calendars.
I think I was just reading on Facebook this morning that they changed their meeting location from River Park to the Seymour Forest Demonstration.
Seymour Park? Forest?
Oh, is it? Yes.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you're right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so, once again, the Vancouver Humane Society is participating in the Scotiabank Charity Challenge, and that's on the last day of June, June 26th.
And I'm running a half marathon for it.
Yeah.
No big deal. No biggie. Just 21.1 kilometers.
This is
Go Allison.
Yeah, this is their most important fundraiser of the year.
It is,
and
yeah.
You can participate by walking or running for the animals.
Like me.
But But the main way that you can participate is by sponsoring Allison Cole from Animal Voices. So if somebody wanted to do that, Allison,
how would they do it?
Yeah.
Well, Caroline, thank you for asking. If you look on our Facebook page right now, Animal Voices Vancouver, I have just posted a link that you can go to make a secure tax-deductible donation. It goes straight to Vancouver Humane Society. You'll get a receipt from them, and it goes towards my effort in doing that run. My goal is $1,000. I hope you will support me all out there.
I supported you, Allison.
You did. Thank you. Thank you for that so much.
And if you are interested to come to A Mile to End Mills this Sunday, I just double-checked the location, and it is at the Inter River Park. That was the location change. So see you there.
I was wrong. Sorry.
No.
If you have an animal-friendly event that you would like to have announced on the show, please send us an email at radioanimalvoices@gmail.com or post it to our Facebook page, Animal Voices Vancouver.
We now have Almira Tanner from the group Direct Action Everywhere, and she will be speaking to us about a Bernie Sanders speaking event in which a protest banner was stolen from an activist, grabbed right out of their hands, and is now being seen for sale on eBay.
Hi, Almira.
Hi there.
Almira, can you tell us a little bit about where this took place? Were you there, and what was Bernie's reaction?
Yeah, I was there. So this was one of the many Bernie Sanders rallies that we have now disrupted. This one was held in Modesto, which is about an hour and a half away from San Francisco in California. So I was there with six other of my fellow activists. We all had different roles, and there were a few people jumping the barrier, a few people hosting up the banner, and I was on camera making sure everything got documented. And so what happened with the banner was that two of my fellow activists, Adam and Jason, had gotten onto this eco stand holding this huge banner out that says animal liberation is social justice. And from the videos, you can see that Bernie is looking directly at that banner. He even actually points to it at one point. We did see it. It did get stolen eventually from us and is now for sale on eBay, as you mentioned. But yeah, Bernie didn't really respond to us at all, which was quite disappointing. He actually said, you know, this is detracting from the quote-unquote real issues that need to be talked about, which I found quite upsetting considering animal rights is one of the major issues in our political climate right now, you know, for ethical reasons and also...
Mm-hmm. Especially when you say climate, the actual climate.
Yeah.
What were the reactions of the crowd?
Pushed Adam off the speaker stand. They were not the security guards or the Secret Service. This was people from the crowd, and they were the ones who stole our banner and were screaming and throwing things at us. And, you know, the whole thing was about 1 to 2 minutes. And you would hope that people who care a lot about others and care a lot about social justice would also care about animals. But I think the crowd kind of showed their true colors there, not particularly supportive, unfortunately.
Yeah, I found that really surprising that the type of people that I think would be supporting of Bernie Sanders would be also aware of these types of issues. I was absolutely shocked that was the reaction when I watched the video, but I was hoping that perhaps that was just the immediate crowd around you and that maybe Bernie Sanders supporters are supporters of you, maybe behind the scenes on internet Facebook groups or something like that. Have you had any experience with having those people in other mediums come towards you and say, good for you, I agree?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely have had people who support this type of action. And most people who look back at, you know, previous social justice movements and other ways of making change know that we do have to be, you know, sometimes unpopular and disruptive. And, you know, before we started disrupting Bernie Sanders, we did write to him very politely asking for him to, you know, consider having a page on his website about animal rights or animal welfare. He doesn't actually have a page on his official website, or it's only on a fan site where these things are. So nothing official. And of course he didn't respond. And that's when we have to start being disruptive. And a lot of people, you know, don't know about these issues or don't consider animal rights to be a social justice issue. And that's why we're out there talking to Bernie supporters. We don't want to talk to Trump supporters. You know, everyone knows that they're very hateful people.
Right.
But these folks we really want to have on our side, and we want to give our message to them.
Well, I'm really grateful that you did that. And I do agree that you need to disrupt sometimes to get a message out. And thank you so much for doing something that got on TV. That's fantastic. Yeah. How much is that banner being sold for?
It was even in Argentina.
Oh, wow. How much is the banner being sold for currently on eBay?
Right now, the banner is about $134 on eBay. We were thinking of maybe buying it back, but we did not spend that much money on that banner. So someone else can have it as their memorabilia.
I think it's a good strategy to leave it up there. The longer you can, the more publicity this cause gets. Thank you so much, Almira.
Thanks for joining us, Almira. Have a great day.
You too.
And now for the news. Well, yesterday we had a disturbing result out of the Supreme Court of Canada. They delivered their decision regarding a case where they considered the scope of the criminal offense of bestiality. This is the first time in Canadian history that the Supreme Court has considered legislation that directly protects animals. It is also one of the only times that an animal advocacy organization has argued before the Supreme Court, that being Animal Justice. And Camille Labchuk of Animal Justice is quoted as saying, "The Supreme Court's decision is a wake-up call that laws protecting animals are severely out of date. As of today, Canadian law gives animal abusers license to use animals for their own sexual gratification. This is completely unacceptable, contrary to societal expectations, and cannot be allowed to continue." Now she urges people to support and press through the private members bill, Bill C-246, the Modernizing Animal Protections Act, introduced by the Liberal MP Nathaniel Erskine-Smith, because it updates the animal offenses in the criminal code and closes this dangerous loophole to make it crystal clear that all forms of sexual activity between a person and an animal are unacceptable. Next, I just was reading in my news feed on Facebook that Jan Arden has accepted the role of parade marshal for the Calgary Stampede this year.
Wow.
In Alberta.
So disappointed.
And I am stunned. And so I've been busy writing letters and making Facebook posts to Jan, urging her to change her mind on this matter and letting her know that I believe, and as do many others, that she is on the wrong side of history. Now, Jan is a self-proclaimed animal rights activist, and she has strongly come out against the wild horse cull in Alberta. So,
and yet strangely supports another form of what is essentially culling and killing horses.
Absolutely.
The Calgary Stampede.
Very well known.
Right. In the chuck races, so many animals die each year, as we know. But also what a lot of people don't know is that if the horses used in the bucking arena don't buck enough, they are sent directly to the slaughterhouse and killed that way. And of course, we know that calves have their necks broken every year, and that in the steer wrestling event, that two steers in the last couple of years have had to be euthanized afterwards due to broken necks. So this is a person calling themselves an animal rights advocate and being a marshal. So I think that we all need, if you go to the Humane Society website, they provide her address by which you can tweet to her Facebook address, which you can easily find her under Jan Arden. And there's an article printed by the Calgary Herald, which you can also go and comment on. And of course, lots of people are writing in and saying, "Way to go, Jan, and never could a better person be picked than you." And our voices have to be heard.
Mm-hmm. I'll be on that one for sure. Absolutely. Thank you.
So you will see my name all over those. So please go and please share that article by the Humane Society and encourage. The Calgary Stampede doesn't come up until July 8th. We have time to lobby.
We have time.
Yeah. We're going to do it. Everybody do it. Animal rights groups are protesting a Swim with the Dolphins attraction slated to open in July in Arizona. It's owned by a Mexican organization which currently operates 8 dolphinariums in Mexico.
For our feature interview today, we have an animal hero who made worldwide headlines recently when she went to great lengths to rescue a lobster 3 weeks ago. Her name is Christine Loheed, and she lives in the small town of Red Lake, Ontario. On May the 16th, she saw a lonely lobster in a grocery store in her town, waiting to be purchased to become someone's dinner. But she couldn't let that happen and knew she had to save him. Christine is here today to tell us the story of Lobby Joe, who is now back in the Atlantic Ocean where he belongs. Welcome to the Animal Voices show, Christine.
Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks for coming on the show today to tell us about your unique rescue of a lobster from a grocery store tank. I know I personally have seen this horrible sight many times before when I've inadvertently passed by the quote-unquote seafood section of the supermarket. It's always very disturbing. It's such a sad sight to see these living beings sitting there waiting to be purchased, to be consumed. What was going through your head when you saw this lone lobster there in the tank?
Well, I was in the, it had been wearing on me every time I saw it. And, you know, I would pause and I'd look at them and I'd talk to my husband and say, is there anything we can do? Like, you know, can we figure something out here? And we couldn't think of anything. And then we'd keep walking and, like, could we boycott the store? But there's only two of us that wouldn't do much for a boycott. And it's a small town, so it's really hard to make any kind of change because it's really there's only four vegans in town. So
wow, that's more than I expected. That's more than I expected, actually, from your small town. I'm not even being sarcastic. I mean that.
But the I couldn't come up with any answers. And then this one guy was by himself, and I saw him, and I was like, ah. And then a few days later, I saw him, and he's still there. And I was like, I was ignoring my heart too long. I was ignoring my conscience too long, and I just couldn't ignore it anymore. So, I mean, you know, the deli section's full of bodies that have, like, it's too late. You know, they're cut up. They've lost their lives. No one saved them. And here he is. He could be saved. You know, he's still alive. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I saw, like, a cow that was about to be, like, I'd have a lot of animals if I lived near slaughterhouses.
So you ended up buying him for $20. You named him Lobby Joe. What happened next?
Yes. We took him home, and we had no plan of, like, what we're going to do. We just took him home, and my boyfriend made a saltwater tank for him right away, and we put him in that. We unhooked we cut his little rubber bands, and he had nice free hands. Put him in the water. He seemed fine, and then we spent a few days going, you know what? Do we keep them? Are we now lobster owners or pet people? And can we give him, like, any kind of a nice life? Like, how much room does he need? What kind of? We also realized we'd have to feed him fish,
right?
And I didn't want to prioritize his life over other fish. I wasn't comfortable with that. I mean, I know that's what he eats in the wild, but I didn't want to be the person who did that. So I thought, well, I think he should just go back to the ocean. And if we drove to Nova Scotia, which is the likelihood where he was from, it would have been like a 35-hour drive. That's like one way, and 35
That's
back.
Far.
So that wasn't very practical. So I started calling, like, can we put him on a train, a plane? I figured out maybe couriers. And so I called a few of those, and only one was willing to ship live animals. Which is kind of a good and kind of a bad thing. I mean, it's normally pretty bad that they're willing to ship live animals for the industry. But in this case, it kind of helped us out. So we found a location in Winnipeg, my hometown, and we drove the 6 hours to take him there.
So you actually had to drive in the opposite direction to get him home, right? And wow, yeah, and it would have been such a long drive to Halifax. So there's a little documentary that you've made online, and I've seen that you had to put him in a styrofoam container and said live lobster on it. I noticed it looked like you had written the word pet on there afterwards. Is that an afterthought just to make sure that someone seeing live lobster might not treat the lobster very well? Someone seeing the word pet might? Is that what was going through your mind?
Well, when we got to the UPS store, we had told them ahead of time what we were doing, and they were very supportive. and they thought it was really nice. So ahead of time, they had prepared this box, and they cut all these holes in the top for air, and they put all the little stickers on it saying live lobster, handle with care, etc. And the UPS staff was very kind, and they weren't remotely mocking or anything. And when we got there, I was just thinking, I don't like the fact that he's just being called live lobster, which still puts mm-hmm. him in the food category.
Right.
And therefore, in shipping, I feel like he wouldn't get a lot of care. So I thought, well, maybe if someone thought that they were importing a special pet lobster or something.
A special lobster, so, unlike all the other lobsters.
Yeah, if he, like, maybe he's remarkable and give him some extra care, maybe the staff would be a little bit more worried about his handling.
So watching this documentary and reading about it, it kind of scared me, thinking like, and I hear a lot of people were telling you, don't do this, he's not going to live. You saw the lobster being unpacked on the other side. He was in newspaper and he made it. Now, were you worried that he wasn't going to make it?
I was. Well, I mean, there were so many people telling us he's not going to make it. That yeah, I was worried that he wouldn't make it. But I kept thinking, logically, he's done this trip before. He's already gone from Halifax, went on a plane for all those hours, drove in a truck all the way to my hometown just to be put into a tank. And I'm like, so he should be able to make it all the way back doing the same process.
So let's find out what happened. Now, you found a woman in Halifax named Beth Kent. How did she help out?
Mm-hmm. Well, we were thinking, okay, if we get him to Halifax, we still need someone to meet him who's going to love him and who's going to respectfully release him into the ocean. And so we went to a Halifax vegans group and had them. It took a while, actually, because they were fairly resistant. A lot of vegans were actually fairly resistant to our idea.
Right.
But that group specifically, because I think it was a bit of a cultural identity for that group. It's Halifax is all about fishing. So I think they felt a little offended. So a few people had volunteered to help, but then backed out. And fortunately, Beth Kent was just a woman on her own and ready to face the the mob.
A tough woman.
Yeah, she's a very tough woman. She didn't care what anyone thought. She wanted to help.
So,
and she had to drive an hour to go pick him up.
And she did that. So how did she let him out? Where was he let out?
Well, she originally had scouted out the day before. She had found like a really nice spot that she thought would work really well. And then at that time, when she got there, there were fishermen and stuff around. So she thought, okay, I got to figure out another plan. And so we were waiting and waiting for the release video. And it's taking her a long time because she was driving around looking for a really nice spot. She found this really nice spot where it was super quiet and only kayaks launched from. And that's where she released him.
And I read on a news story, when Joe finally set down into the Atlantic, he floated for a few minutes. Then his little legs started moving and he sunk to the bottom before scooting in the seaweed. And I guess that was the last time he was seen.
Yeah, he was sitting on top for a while, not doing anything. And so she picked him up again and she repositioned him on the water. And he just dove under and took off.
And that's the end of the story. So, well, it keeps going on, though.
He took off. He didn't just go to the mm-hmm. bottom. He was gone. She even checked, she even got in and checked around the seaweed area to see if he was just sitting somewhere. No, he was gone.
He's where he belongs. So how does it make you feel to know that you have literally saved another being's life, one that was 100% destined for death if you hadn't have intervened?
I don't know. I mean, I guess I feel good about it, but it wasn't really about me. I feel good that it was about his life. And, you know, he had the right to his life. Nobody else owns it. You know, it was his life. I don't know why. I don't think people should view it as that they had the right to do that to him in the first place. So I just undid what people had done. That's all.
Oh, hi, Christine. It's Caroline here. I just, I think it's so, it must feel so good to know that, you know, I think so often in animal rescue, we can't point to an animal that we actually saved. We do a lot of work, but we can't point to an animal and say that animal is alive because of me. But your efforts are so profoundly inspiring. How did you, when you saw the video of the lobster being released, what was your emotion?
It was actually the video of him arriving there and being alive, and the way she talked to him with so much kindness, and like she said, "You're home. You remember this place?" And she was just talking to him with so much, like, the same kind of love that I was feeling, that I totally started crying as soon as I realized, one, he's alive, and two, he's in loving hands, and that totally made me cry. And then the release video was just like the icing on the cake of like a, like, ah, it's done.
So you really connected with the right rescuer on the other end.
I did. It was just as soon as we saw that video of how she was talking to him, and she said, like, it'll be okay now. Everything's going to be okay. And I was like, her heart was in such a perfect place. I found the perfect person to release him.
Yeah, it really was heartwarming to see that video. And I read the articles, and although many people were championing your efforts, some people on either side of the animal advocacy fence were not in support of what you have done. And you received some criticism from vegans saying, you have essentially kept the commercial chain going by buying this lobster. Another one will need to be caught to replace it. How do you respond to that kind of criticism?
Well, one, I think we have to do what our heart tells us to do. And if you have the chance to save a life, damn the consequences and save the life, in my opinion. And two, I only gave $20 to the industry, but I was in the Washington Post. I was on an LA radio station. The word, there's Japanese, Chinese, Russian, Sweden articles about it. I mean, I think that the $20 I paid into the industry, I've done more damage to the industry than I've helped.
That's a really interesting way to look at it. Yeah,
I agree.
I like that.
I think it's really gotten the story, this story of this one lobster. And actually, there was a story, Jen, that you just came up with last night about a frog that was rescued.
I saw that.
And so, did you see that as well, Christine?
I saw that today on the Dodo. I was like, hey, my people.
Yeah. You should connect with that person.
And extraordinary efforts.
I was trying to find her. I was searching just a couple minutes ago. I was like, I got to find that lady.
Yeah, I love people like you. That's awesome. Thank you so much for doing that.
She ran over a frog with a lawnmower, and then she flew him 500 miles to get treated.
Yeah, in Australia.
And he's doing fine.
And apparently he had two parasites and was quite ripped up. And they posted some pictures of the after of this. And this is an endangered species or species that is in the process of becoming endangered. So she realized this and went to extraordinary efforts. And I think these stories really, by putting a name on it, really just focus your attention in a way that you might, you know, if you heard about 100 frogs or 1,000 frogs or frogs in general being endangered. But when you look at this little guy with his big eyes, or when you look at the lobster, when I saw the picture of the lobster that you rescued in the tank and he was all curled up into a little ball and pressed against the glass, it was heartbreaking.
Yeah, it was. I was like, look at that. And he was so curled up, too. Like that was a defeat posture, you know? And then we got him home, and he stretched out, and his tail came out, and his hands were moving, and he was walking around. It was a totally different lobster once he was out of that environment. I don't know if he knew, but...
Oh, I would love to get inside their heads, all animals, and know what they're thinking, and to be able to communicate with them. But thank you so much for what you did.
I got a lot of nice messages from people, too, who were incredibly moved, who said it made them cry, who said it made them rethink lobster or eating lobsters. And if, of course, it makes them rethink eating lobsters, it'll make them rethink eating other things as well.
Exactly.
Seeds planted.
Good job.
We're always planting seed. So I looked at your Facebook page this morning, and you are an animal activist from end to end. And tell us just a little bit about, you know, how your town sees you. Do they see you as a hero? Are they, you know, how are they regarding you? And what is that all about being an animal rights activist in Red Lake, Ontario?
Population 4,600, I checked.
Yes, well, we've rescued a fox from here. He had bad mange. You can see my video on my Facebook or my YouTube channel.
I saw that.
And we took him into our house for a month and cured him. And we had already had the medicine on us to be able to treat them. So it was just a matter of catching him and curing him. And we found a skunk with a container on his head that was stuck, so we released him. And we just help anything we can. last night we helped a frog off the road.
Aww.
But it's just doing what you can, even if you're in a limited area. I mean, there's a lot of hunting and fishing going on here, and you know, and a lot of I can't really do much because your hands are quite tied in a small community, you know. But the local people, some people recognize our names, and I've talked to a few of our customers because we have a painting company here, and I was like, "Did you see our story?" And the most of the time I get, "Yeah, I saw that." That's it. they don't say anything else. There's no follow up to it. Just, "Yeah, I saw that."
But again, the seeds are being planted.
Yes. And this one, I did say to one woman, "Did you see our story?" And she was like, "Yeah, I didn't even know you were vegan. I'm vegetarian." And I was like, "Oh, look at that." So I found a vegetarian out of it.
These stories are such a great way to connect with people from around the world. And yeah, for sure, you are a hero to that lobster. He might not know it, he or she. But,
I hope he lives to be like 100 years old and outlives us all and is having a great time.
And yeah, lobsters can live up to 100 years old too. So that's even like, yeah, that can happen. Like, you actually saved a being's life who can now live for maybe another 99 years, live way past any of us, which is just an incredible thing to think about.
Some people try to be negative and say that he probably died as soon as you got back in there, et cetera, et cetera.
No, he didn't.
But
haters going to hate.
I don't know. But the thing is, he was a guaranteed death by now.
And he didn't go. He's not going into a pot of boiling water.
Yeah, and I prevented that. So even we were prepared for that even when we had him in our tank at home while we were making our plan. I was like, even if he dies in our tank, he's not being boiled alive, and that's still better, and he's still being cared for and being given more respect than what he was being shown. So
exactly.
So you've talked about how, you know, planting seeds, and that's what this story has done. It's reached far and wide. It's gone to Japan, your favorite country, and even Sweden, yeah, as you mentioned. So this has rippling effects, this story. And I'm wondering, what do you hope for our listeners and those around the world who have read or heard about your story now? As like, what do you hope for them to take away from it? Like, how can this keep continuing to do good work?
Just to remember that animals aren't ours as commodities. They're not possessions. They're not things you own. Even if you consume them, they're not things that are just there to be consumed. They have free will. They have their lives. And we're just sharing the planet with them. We should just be interacting with them when we come across them, helping them if we can. But this relationship we have of using everything we see to how we see fit has got to stop. And we're not better than them. We're just not.
Absolutely. We are just another species in the whole universe here. I understand you want, I read somewhere that you want Disney to make a movie starring lobsters. Is that right?
No, I was joking.
You're joking.
I'm joking with a reporter, and for some reason it came out all serious.
That's hilarious. The reporter, yeah, is not going to get that joke.
No, I said it joking, but I guess when you write it, sometimes, you know, you can't write the humor part. So I was like, yeah.
There was no LOL written beside it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can't write humor sometimes. But I also said that I was kind of, realistically, though, I was like a little disappointed I didn't talk to Ellen. Because, one, she's,
yeah,
a vegan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so I heard that you've reached out to Ellen. Do you think?
I did, but yeah, nothing. I got nothing back. And then on top of that, she's making a huge fish movie right now.
Yeah.
You know, that I'm sure has lobsters in it. So I really thought, like, I think she'll call me. Because, I mean, USA Today called me and, like, all these other places around there.
You know what? Keep the faith alive. She still might. She still might. This is totally up her alley. So
that would be totally awesome because she's very sweet and that would just be fantastic.
Animal lover too and fellow vegan. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show today, Christine, to tell us your story for Save a Lobster Day coming up on June 15th. I hope our listeners will be inspired to take actions themselves when they see an injustice to an animal, as you did here and have acted on many times in the past. Have a great day and happy Save a Lobster Day to you.
Thank you.
Take care.
You have been listening to Animal Voices on 100.5 FM CFRO Co-op Radio in Vancouver, Canada. Please join us on our next show next Friday, June the 17th. June 18th is Save a Fish Day, and we'll be having ethologist Jonathan Balcombe on the show next week to talk to us about the inner lives of fish.
I have an update to that, too.
Sure.
Another interview just confirmed. I'm going to be attending the National Animal Rights Conference in Los Angeles. It's a wonderful event. I want everyone to know about it. So we'll be having director of the Farm Animal Rights Movement, Michael Weberman, on the show next week to tell us all about it.
Amazing. And to add to the interview with Jonathan Balcombe, he has just recently published a book all about this topic, and it's called What a Fish Knows, The Inner Lives of Our Underwater Cousins. We here at Animal Voices want to connect with you online. Animalvoices.org is where you can stream shows or download the shows as podcasts, read our show blog with detailed links, and subscribe via iTunes. Stay in touch with us via our Facebook page, Animal Voices Vancouver, and join us on Twitter at Animal Voices YVR. We're an all-volunteer-run radio station and show, and we need help. If you're interested in producing or hosting shows or doing interviews, and you have good organizational skills and are familiar with the issues of animal advocacy and veganism, please send us an email at radioanimalvoices@gmail.com. We can use your help, and training will be provided. You can also send us your suggestions and comments about the show, either on Facebook or via email at radioanimalvoices@gmail.com. We're closing the show now with a song dedicated to Lobby Joe, all lobsters and all animals, called Be Kind to the Animals, a Song for Animal Rights by Simon DiBaccio. Stay tuned for Radio EcoShock with Alex Smith. Thank you so much for listening to Animal Voices today, and remember to be kind to the animals.